All right, you're back in the DFSR on the Overtime Network, broadcasting from the Vivid Seats Lounge. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
Oh, baby, football is right around the corner. We're so close. You can almost taste it. We're less than 24 hours away. I don't know when this is going to post. We'll be 36 hours away, I think, by the time this podcast goes up, somewhere in that range for the Thursday night game. And then Sunday's games right around the corner. Feels like football never even left. And today we're going to talk cash game plays for FanDuel and DraftKings. Actually, before we get that, though, if you're listening to this, you probably already heard the news because this stuff happens lightning fast. Zeke, buddy, how quick thoughts on the Zeke thing? We can get this one out of the way first because it feels like this was the most pressing piece of news leading into week one, was the Ezekiel Elliott holdout, or sort of quasi holdout, but not really based on the contract he got. But, where do we land now? We were saying we'd go all in on Pollard, obviously, but that's not the case anymore. Thoughts on the Zeke contract real quick. Thoughts on what that means for week one. It feels like, I don't know. What are your thoughts? I won't bury it here. What are your thoughts?
Doug, were complete disappointment because for some unknown reason, I joined a league with our DFSR chatters, a season-long fantasy football league, and I grabbed Tony Pollard, and I was really hoping to smash my opponent over the face with Tony Pollard and, like, whatever he was, a ninth-round pick or something. And then I also just realized that what was the upside in signing up for this league with these people? But especially, it's a 14-team league where, like, things can really go off the rails. And so, yeah, like, hopefully it could be fun or whatever, but there's no decent players available. So after you've drafted, you've pretty much got the team you've got. And I know I had one job, which is to not come in dead last place. And now all I can see is a future where I'm just in last place and they all just make fun of me for the rest of time. So I'm feeling kind of nervous. So anyway, my major reaction was disappointment at Zeke for coming back. Not for him, by the way. Disappointment at the Cowboys. How do you cave and give a running back in this day and age $90 million over 6 years and $50 million guaranteed? I just will never begin to understand it. I don't know why we couldn't wait 1 week and just see what we had with Tony Pollard. Like, if Pollard goes out there and just has 110 yards on 20 carries, they can't just come back to Zeke and be like, are you serious, bud? Do you want to come out here and play, or do you want to just, like, sit around? You're under contract for 2 years. Like, like, what's the plan here, you know?
Well, they did give him the ball 400 times last year in 15 games, so it's not like his body's going to get worn down over these next 6 years. I just don't even know. It's like it seems like the single worst thing you can do in the NFL is just pay these running backs. I get that, like, maybe Zeke's the best of the bunch. I don't know. But these other teams don't seem to have a problem. Like, the Bills cut Shady McCoy, and 30 seconds later, the Chiefs signed him and said that he's going to have reps going this Sunday in their offense. And even though they had Damian Williams there, like, it just seems like there's some teams that just seem to get this practice. And then there's Cowboys that are like, hey, who wants 6 years of this running back? You'll be good when you're 30, right? Like,
I think Zeke, how old is he now? He's like 20.
He's 24. Okay. He's 24.
Okay. So he's pretty young, but. And I guess I also understand the loyalty of paying someone who you've put through the ringer already. Like, sure, they've really ground this guy into the ground, and it's nice to give him money, I guess, like, after the fact for all of the hard work he's done for you. It's just not very wise. And yeah, like, there's definitely a difference in talent among the top running backs. Anyone who would tell you otherwise is foolish and probably going too far the other way, but it's just not the difference. Like, the top running back to the middle of the pack running back, it's just not the same difference as the top quarterback to the middle of the pack quarterback, or the top left tackle to the middle of the pack left tackle. So it's just, yeah, it's a crazy decision by the Cowboys. Lock them into mediocrity for the next 5 years, and here we go. Yeah, it's a wild world.
All right, well, on that note, on the note of you throwing shade at your fantasy football team and then us throwing shade at the Cowboys for signing Zeke, we are going to get into cash game plays for week one here for the main slate of games. Now, typically, we went through our broadcast schedule last week, but I'm just going to just reiterate this real quick. So typically, we podcast 2 to 3 times a week, with a Wednesday or Thursday podcast being cash game plays. This is after we've written the cash game article that goes up on the site for free, that you can read for free on dailyfantasysportsrankings.com. This week, we're going to do it a little differently. We're going to reverse it. This will be the time where we sort of, because typically before we write the article, James and I will discuss who we see as our top plays and who we kind of want to highlight, because, you know, it's a free article, but we take it very seriously, and we want to lend credence to our projection system, which we think is among the best in the business. So we'll go through this process of really dialing in and giving you cash game plays that you can put into a lineup, even if you didn't sign up for our projection system. Today, we're going to go through what we're, our process of how we're going to decide who those plays are going to be. So we'll just do, for this will be the 1 week where we do it in reverse and try to maybe just dial in on each position about where we really think we can go for cash games in a way that we can actually fit guys into lineups. We're not going to just roll through the most expensive guys at every position. That's disingenuous and intellectually dishonest to do that because you simply can't fit those guys into a cash game lineup. So we'll go position by position here, try to decide on. We might disagree on some of these guys. I have a feeling, especially at a couple positions, we might really disagree about where we're going, and then we'll see where we land. But let's start with quarterback. The way our system is currently pushing it, it kind of wants us to start a quarterback in what I would call the upper middle tier. This would be players in the mid to high 6,000 range on DraftKings, sort of in the same range on FanDuel. More in the 7,000 range on FanDuel. When we talk about cash games, we talk about safety, and we will talk about hitting high floors. Is there a guy or multiple guys that stand out to you here that we think we can highlight that will just, again, maintain a high floor for us in cash games this week?
Well, one guy that we've gone back to many times, or one kind of philosophy that we've taken when it comes to trying to gather up a high floor for our quarterbacks, is running quarterbacks. And so if you're new to DFSR, this might be a surprise to you. A lot of these guys don't have the reputation as having sort of the highest floor for regular fantasy purposes. And I think that's sort of mistaken. You know, guys like Lamar Jackson, like Russell Wilson, even Cam Newton, I guess he's probably not running as much now as he used to be. But when you can sort of lock up 5 fantasy points just from the word go, that can really take you a long way. And I think this week with both Jackson and Wilson, our system is sort of drawing them out, simply because they also have great matchups. Like Lamar Jackson's going up against Miami, who many people, even before this weekend's trades, were already picturing as being one of the worst teams in the league. And Baltimore, since Jackson joined, just had this sort of epic running attack where they just ground teams down. And starting off against Miami in a game where they're favored, in a game where they're not going to have to ask Jackson to do a whole lot through the air, I think he especially is a super high floor option going up against Miami. And I think Wilson is sort of like a more expensive, slightly less exciting version of the same thing against Cincinnati. But yeah, right now our system is drying out those two, you know, almost not that they're run first quarterbacks, well, Jackson probably is, but those two guys that are going to get you a lot of value on your legs and then kind of supplement that through the air.
Sure. So one, and you know, I'm maybe going to jump the gun a little bit on this, but one way to really target running games on a week-to-week basis is to look at Vegas lines and use Vegas lines to inform you on rushing attacks that are in premium positions, because typically teams that get up ahead use the run to basically run the game out. That's been a time-tested tradition, even with the advent of passing becoming more and more popular in the NFL. Teams that get up will tend to run as the game goes on, just to kind of get out of the game. Jackson actually kind of fits that mold in a weird way because he is basically a huge part of their running game. So last year after week 11, Lamar Jackson took over the starter's role. He was one of just the best rushers in the league, including running backs. He ran for over 500 yards just in that time. He was easily the highest running quarterback of all of quarterbacks for the entire season. He ran for almost 700 yards over the course of the season. So I'm with you. I think that just the floor that he gives you in the points on the ground just means so much, and especially considering that they're favorites here, and this is not a game where they're going to need to kind of go away from the plan like they maybe had to do in San Diego last year. I think for me, he's just the top guy from a cash game perspective, not a GPP perspective. I think the ceiling is actually kind of low, all things considered, because I don't think he's going to end up piling it on. So I think I agree with you. I think he'll probably be the first guy we write up when it's all said and done, just because the standard deviation was so low for him. Coefficient of variation was so low for him. After him, though, he's not 100% locked for me in cash games. I like the case the case for Wilson is interesting too. What do you make of, though, they really wanted to run the ball a ton last year, but not as much with him. They used the running game a lot. He's also working it without really many wide receivers this year. Like, Doug Baldwin's not going to play. Tyler Lockett's back. They have DK Metcalf. This is he's a rookie. Are you worried at all about the Wilson thing, just from an overall weapon standpoint? Because he is much more of a, he will run. He ran for almost 400 yards last year, and he completed about 66% of his passes, over 3,000 yards. But I'm so worried about who, like, the options that he has to pass to. That's the kind of thing that's worrying me here for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's always kind of gotten by without a lot of options. Like, I don't know who his great options that he used to have are that are now missing, right? Like, he just seems like he's always kind of doing it with these guys that are not really fantasy viable. So I guess I wouldn't worry about that too much. And to your point, I mean, 400 yards over the course of a season is less than 30 yards a game, right? So it's not like he's not bringing it in the same way that Jackson brings it necessarily. And I think that's kind of why I was calling it out as, you know, perhaps a less exciting version of just making the Lamar Jackson play. And so while our system is liking him, I think the increased price point, you know, going up $800 and our system doesn't even think you're going to get more fantasy production in exchange for that. I don't think that that's going to be where we wind up for cash games this week.
What are your thoughts on Carson Wentz? Because Wentz is the guy our system really likes. I'm struggling to see it. These are a numbers thing. We have a ton of inputs that go into these projections, just like every other projection system does. I think we've dialed this in pretty well over the last couple of years, just from a correlation standpoint, in terms of making sure the inputs really do correlate with fantasy value. And Wentz is actually a guy that I was a little surprised to see sort of popping into DraftKings lineup specifically. I don't know if it's just a price thing on him, or it's just that the matchup's so good or their implied total is so high. But what do you make of seeing $5,700 Carson Wentz showing up? He's not in every lineup right now, but it is kind of mixing and matching some of these quarterbacks at times. And he's one of the guys. And I don't know. I like when I see a guy like Wilson show up. I like when I see a guy like Lamar Jackson show up. And for some reason, Wentz just doesn't give me that same warm and fuzzy feeling when I see him popping into lineups.
Yeah, I guess I don't totally know why. I mean, Wentz was really good last year. He completed 70% of his balls. Like, that's excellent. He had 21 touchdowns against 7 interceptions. And that was coming off a season in 2017 where he had 33 touchdowns against 7 interceptions. Obviously, he's had some health concerns. That's not really a problem for us, I don't think, going into week one. I think Wentz is a good quarterback. I think he's undervalued right now because he hasn't been, you know, part of that like absolute elite sort of Patrick Mahomes style tier. But in terms of a mid-tier guy that should be involved in most of his team's scoring plays as well, I think it looks pretty good. I mean, you have the dual threat now of Howard and Sanders there. I mean, Howard has not really given us anything to write home about. Miles Sanders, sort of an unknown. He did catch some balls out of the backfield in college. So, you know, I think that Wentz with, you know, Jeffrey Ertz, I think there's just plenty of stuff going on there that you can play him. I don't know. What's so bad about Carson Wentz, I guess is my question.
So one thing, I'm with you on the passing attack. They have DeSean Jackson too, so they have a downfield threat as well. They have a lot of weapons for him to go to, so I do like that part of it. I guess where I'm a little concerned on where to land is, you know, we led this off by talking about we really liked rushing quarterbacks. And in 2017, before he tore the ACL, he had 300 yards rushing in 13 games, which is going to start bordering on, like, not elite rushing numbers, but that's like that, and that would have finished him in the top 10-ish in rushing.
He's giving you 2.5 fantasy points a game on the ground, sure.
Right, and that's good. That's pretty good for a rushing quarterback. You know, maybe he even gets a little higher down the stretch. The problem is when he came back last year, that really wasn't the case. He ran for under 100 yards in 11 games last season. So it seemed like the scrambling piece of his game really just wasn't a part of it at all. So I guess that's maybe part of it for me, is that I'm just not sure where to land on the running yards, because if they're worried about sending him out of the pocket because of the injury and they just want to keep him safe, and maybe that was the plan last year and they went to just a more conservative style of overall offense when he was playing because they just were worried about the injury, then I'd be worried about maybe, you know, I don't know if we can project him back for 300 yards rushing again after what he did last year. I think maybe that's part of the concern. Now if we're just looking at strictly a pocket passer, I'm just not sure that's where I want to land for cash games. Does that make sense? Like, is that a warranted just quibble with where we are? Because I have a feeling maybe we are just maybe a little high on his rushing yards.
I mean, if we're high on his rushing yards, then we should take him down. I don't think you want to not play a guy simply because he's not a rushing quarterback, though, because, right, like we've talked about many times, like, just price is the other consideration, right? Like, Wentz can be worse than he was in the past, but still even be a better value now because his price has gone down. And I think you're talking about a $5,700 price tag. Like, that's pretty affordable, and it just wouldn't shock me if you took his rushing away completely and he was still a solid play on that number.
Yeah, I think on DraftKings for 300 more, I just prefer to go Lamar Jackson. I know 300 is not nothing. It's it's something. You feel you want to try to find wiggle room somewhere. I feel like 300 is the amount of wiggle room that you can find just to be able to get a guy to feel a little bit better about it, I guess. And that's where I land. I'm totally with you on the price. There's a price for every guy in the NFL, right? Like if it would pay a dollar for a guy, then you could pay some kind of dollar for anybody. So it's not so much that. I guess I was just pointing to a specific concern I had him from a cash game perspective, where if they're up in the game and they have a bunch of just running backs that they can just run downhill with, I'd be worried about the floor isn't as high for him. And I recognize that he is just an awesome quarterback. Who else did I miss here? Those are the three guys that our system's calling out. I think we'll probably end up writing up all three. Is there another guy? Like, do you think there's enough savings to pay up for a guy like Mahomes against Jacksonville? I mean, we saw the amount of consistency he had on a week-to-week basis last year was just absolutely ridiculous. There are some other guys that people are very high on, like Jameis going into this year, maybe Cam in a high-scoring game. Any of these guys interest you, considering their price tags, or they all feel a little expensive?
No, I don't think that's going to come together for an expensive quarterback going into week one. And this is like a theme that we'll get to as we kind of go through position by position, but there aren't that many really great cheap value guys going into week one. Like, we have a few of them, and they're going to be mostly at the running back position, which we'll get to in a second. And especially like at tight end, it's sort of hard to know where we can find any value this week. So I think given the lack of extreme value at other positions, it's going to be a tough week to pay up at quarterback. Like in the past, we've tended to only really pay up at quarterback when you just have that embarrassment of riches, like two $5,000 running backs that are both going to be getting the start unexpectedly this week, or, you know, the number one wide receiver goes down and it's very obvious that you have a $6,000 heir apparent just waiting to inherit all those throws. So I think given the lack of, like, maybe if Tony Pollard was going this week as the sole back in Dallas, we might be able to spend up a little bit more at quarterback. But even then, I still think we have more holes at other positions. And especially as we're trying to figure out how to get the highest floor possible on our scores at other positions, like, we can get a plenty high floor from on a points per dollar basis from these guys like Jackson or Wilson or whoever else, or Carson Wentz on DraftKings. But as you start to pay down at other positions, you really start to increase your variance that much more. So yeah, I just don't think it's the week to pay up at quarterback.
If you're headed to a game this year and you need tickets, there's only one place to go, and that's Vivid Seats. It's super easy. You go to the App Store, download the Vivid Seats app. You use the promo code OVERTIME. That's OVERTIME. And you save up to $100 on all ticket purchases, first-time customers only. Once again, Vivid Seats. Use the promo code OVERTIME. It's that easy. Get tickets. Go to the game. You won't regret it.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watching on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, let's move on to running backs, because I think there's going to be some discussion here. And I do think that between this and wide receiver, we are going to, I think that we're going to probably land on one of those three quarterbacks we mentioned before. It's running back and wide receiver that I think there's going to be a little bit more discussion about where we end up landing it. Let me just caveat this by saying, typically, the secret sauce, as I mentioned before with quarterbacks, is, and maybe it's not so secret anymore, is the higher the line, the more that you want to take a rushing attack for safety, right? There's always going to be GPP considerations that are going to exist outside of what I'm talking about here. From a safety perspective, historically, typically home favorites, but you can go road favorites here as well. Seven, I would say 5.5 or higher, but really when you start pushing 7 and higher in terms of the spread, that's really where we want to look for running backs. The teams that exist in that category this week, Baltimore on the road against Miami, Cleveland, 5.5 favorite at home against Tennessee, Philadelphia, 9.5 point favorite at home against Washington, Chargers, 6.5 over Indiana, and then Seattle, 8.5, and Dallas, 7.5, both favored. So those are the biggest just overall favorites. From those teams, any running backs stand out to you here? Do you think we're going to just kind of get off that policy this week because there's other guys that we can consider? Where do you want to start here with running backs? Because I'm kind of all over the map when I look at some of these names. All over the map in a good way, because I think there's just a lot of very good options.
Yeah, so I think I'm starting with just the basic value guys that I'm looking at right now. One name that's jumping to the top of my list is Chris Carson. This is like a really interesting situation where in that 14-team league with, I don't want to inflate these people's egos very much, but with mostly smart players, like people did a nice job in their drafts by and large. Chris Carson went with the first pick in the third round of a 14-team league. So that was, I thought a pretty aggressive pick, but it at least reflects that people are very bullish on him in terms of him being a three-down back, the goal line back, etc. And he's 6,600 on FanDuel in a great matchup against Cincinnati. I think you're going to see Carson, round out as like a $7,500 back in the not-too-distant future. And yeah, right now our system is seeing that as a nearly criminal amount of value. And that's actually not a range where we often find ourselves grabbing running backs, just because after a few weeks, the reasonable running backs move up into that $75,000 to $8,000 range, and then you can't play them anymore. And then the running backs by committee and the bums and so on, they wind up in like that $5,900 to $6,600 range. So yeah, I think Carson right now, it's not like a pure punt play or anything like that, but the value is so tremendous given that you get a clear number one in a game that should feature a lot of rushing at that price point. So yeah, right now he's the clear top value guy that I'm seeing.
He took over as basically the main starting running back for Seattle in week 3 last season. And if you look at the league from that point on, only Zeke, Saquon, and Todd Gurley were ahead of him in overall rushing yards on the season. He ranked 4th behind those guys from week 3 on, from the time he took over. So he was just an elite volume running back, no doubt about it. I think that I'm with you. This one is not a close one for me. He's a lock for both sites, FanDuel and DraftKings. It's just too good of a spot. They've shown the willingness to run him a lot. I know Rashad Penny is there. They have talked a little bit about putting Carson more into the passing game. I'm still going to take a wait-and-see approach on that piece of it. But just the amount of carries they gave him last year, I don't see that changing. I think he's a lock. It's after him, I think, that we start asking real questions about who the other running backs are. I think we can knock Zeke off if we think that they're going to give him something like a pitch count. By the way, I just don't know why they call this they label this a pitch count. It's called a carry count, like a snap count. Like, why do people call it? Why do they use a different sport for this stupid thing? It makes no sense. Anyway, he's going to have a carry count or a snap count on him. So I think that we can knock him. I think we do not need to go on a Zeke limb here, even though he's in a tremendous spot. Any of those other teams that are favorites have running games that stand out to you? I'm not sure, because I think Philly, no, right? Like, Chargers, we can't trust it with the Melvin Gordon thing. Where else do you want to go here after the Carson thing, which I think we're probably both going to agree is a lock? I think here after this, I think there are a lot of guys I can consider, and I would like a lot of them, but they have question marks as well.
Well, I think we can trust the Chargers if Gordon's out. The Chargers aren't on the main slate here, so I don't think we need to worry about it, but if Eckler is the starter, I think we have a track record of what that should look like. So I actually think Eckler is probably a pretty solid play right now. But yeah, since he's not on the main slate, we don't need to worry about that too much. Oh no, they are on the main slate. Yeah, I'm just completely wrong about that.
No, they are on the main. They're in the main slate. They're the 4 o'clock games.
I was looking for SD and not LAC. All right, buddy, it's the beginning of football season. So let's talk about Austin Eckler then. I mean, do you think that he's 6,400 right now? That's cheaper than Carson. We have a track record of him taking over the starting gig from Gordon. We're not going to be like surprised. We're not going to be sitting there waiting on Sunday to find out if Gordon is going to get plugged in as the starting running back or not, right? And I think most people believe that Gordon is going to miss at least the first week of the season here. Are you just down on Austin Ekeler? Do you think he can't do it against a Colts team that now doesn't even have Andrew Luck and that they should be in the position to run the ball quite a bit against?
It's just the fact that Justin Jackson's still there. They haven't really named him like the full, like he's not a three down back. I think we have the ability to just grab at least, I guess Carson, the fact that we've seen Carson have such tremendous volume, even not necessarily as a three down back, makes me feel better about that situation. I guess for cash games, I really don't, this is another thing that we kind of just try to live by, is getting running backs that are on the field as much as possible for their teams. Now, the list of these guys is pretty short, and that's what makes them typically very expensive. So we can start there, that we're not going to be able to always grab these guys. I'm just not sure Ekeler, I'm just not positive that's just not a full split with him and Justin Jackson. I guess that's the only thing. I would be very uncomfortable going into week one trusting that he was just going to see 70% of the carry, 70% of the usage in the offense or higher or something like that. I think that's my biggest concern. He's in a great spot. And are we just positive he's going to see 75% of the snaps? Like, I just don't know. So I think from a speculation point of view, I just don't think I want to go there. Other guys that the system does seem to want to call out, it likes guys like Christian McCaffrey. They're slight underdogs on the road in a huge total, slight underdogs at home to the Rams in a huge total game of 50. I think that's the second highest over under on the slate. What are your thoughts on paying up for a guy like McCaffrey? He's 8,900 on FanDuel. He is, I think, a tick more expensive on DraftKings. I'm just grabbing this real quick. Thoughts on him? He's an underdog here, but he also is like half a wide receiver as well. Or he's like almost like a full wide receiver at this point too. Does he offer enough? He has 8,800 on DraftKings. Does he offer enough safety in just the way they use him that we don't need to worry that he's not a favorite, but they just, you know, even if they're down, you know, he's going to be on the field. And if they're up, he's going to be on the field as well. Is there enough safety in his position knowing that this could be something of a shootout as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you can't disparage McCaffrey's track record at all. I think he's worth every penny of the around $9,000 you're going to have to pay for him on a week-to-week basis. You know, the question, as always, when it comes to expensive players is this really the position where you're supposed to pay up? And we can't really make that determination until we look at the cheaper guys at other positions, too. I mean, I think given that we have guys like Chris Carson this week, given that we have even guys like Duke Johnson, you know, at 5,400, you're seeing some really good value plays at the running back position. And sometimes when that happens, the expensive plays get crowded out. I mean, there's another guy in this game, actually, that's far cheaper than McCaffrey. I mean, Gurley is 7,600 in a game where he's the favorite. And I know people were soured on Gurley after the end of the season last year when he was dealing with the knee issues. But Gurley at 7,600 in a game where he's a favorite with one of the highest totals on the slate, this guy was a slam dunk play at 9,000 for weeks and weeks and weeks. Are we just supposed to play Gurley with the $1,300 savings if we're deciding between these two guys? I'm just not so sure.
This is one of these other question marks, right? Because you can easily be a week late on Todd Gurley and get destroyed on because he just saw elite usage through and through as well, and they could just go right back to the well with him. They might say that their system can just support whatever guy they put back there. I mean, they ran C.J. Anderson in the playoffs last year, when Gurley was clearly still hurt. The speculation is that he's healthy now. I just get worried about what happened when he came back last year, and if he's fully healthy and they paid him buku bucks, he needs to be on the field for them. So he's just another one of these kind of question mark guys.
And apologies, Duke Johnson's not on the main slate.
Feel better about McCaffrey.
Misreading something. I get that. Forget Duke Johnson. Let's just get your thoughts over him.
And Gurley's another one of these guys that's sniffing around our lineups as well. There's lots of guys. Carson's really the only 100% guy in lineups right now. There's a bunch of guys that are. It's kind of toggling between paying up for guys like Gurley and McCaffrey, or taking someone again in the mid-range like Kerryon Johnson, who we'd be speculating on a little bit is going to become a three-down back in Detroit right now, like some of the news would suggest. Is this a good enough spot that we can maybe think about taking a guy like Kerryon Johnson here, or is that just a little too speculative?
Yeah, I'm not as bullish on Kerryon Johnson as many people are. I mean, I think they brought in C.J. Anderson as well, and you know, we saw Anderson still being an effective back, you know, in the playoffs when it was all on the line. You know, I think the Lions have also been one of these teams that have been just like with a gun to their head, just a diehard running back by committee team. We've been in so many situations in the past where it appeared as though they finally had their guy and now they were going to really settle in and this was going to be the number one, and we've just never seen it happen. And Kerryon Johnson last season, he had more than 20 touches in a game 2 times, and that's just not what we're accustomed to seeing for guys that we want to consider to be elite running backs. And you know, especially again considering that you can get Chris Carson for cheaper than Kerryon Johnson, and Carson I think rates to have a significantly higher volume, I don't know why this would be the direction I would want to lean. So yeah, Johnson, there is very interesting upside play. I think there's, you know, tremendous potential. Like, we saw some huge games out of him, and if he kind of paired the best of both of his games, like that huge running game he had against Miami where he had 158 yards on the ground, and then like the huge target game he had against Seattle where he had 8 targets, like you can see some big games down the pike for him on a week-to-week basis. Though, just don't be surprised if you get, you know, 12 rushing attempts and 6 targets for like 80 total yards some significant portion of the time. So I'm not nearly as high on Kerryon Johnson as many people are.
And then the last guy I thought might be something like a must play when the pricing first started coming out, now he's maybe getting X'd out because of just other value plays lower on the board, is Dalvin Cook. He looks like very much like he's just going to be an every down guy. They're 4-point favorites against the Falcons at home this weekend. Is Dalvin Cook a guy that maybe just ends up in all of our lineups too? He kind of does fit the mold for me from a guy from like bell cow plus going to get some, going to do his work in the receiving game as well.
Yeah, I think Cook is solid. Again, I'm not sure that we're going to wind up in that mid-range at running back this week. And I think if I'm comparing him to, say, Todd Gurley at a similar price point, I personally would rather lean Gurley. We did see some evidence that the Vikings were willing to use Cook in a greater capacity than, say, like Kerryon Johnson last season. But we definitely saw plenty of times where they weren't as well. So given that I know that if Gurley's out there, he's almost certainly going to be the main guy, just kind of going after it, and I don't have quite the same level of confidence on Cook, I would prefer Gurley between those two.
All right, let's roll into wide receivers here. I'm all over the map here on where we're going to land with wide receivers. Just as a quick note, the top overall just projected guys, and I'll just call these guys the same, they're the level of talent guys, and that's Julio Jones, Odell Beckham Jr., I guess we'll throw Tyreek Hill in there as well. It's just like the biggest talents on this main slate are all going to draw shadow coverage this week. Jones is going to get Xavier Rhodes. Tyreek Hill is going to get Jalen Ramsey. And Beckham is going to get, I forget who he's going to get. I'll look that up in a second. But they're all going to draw shadow coverage. None of them look like they're in tremendous spots, although Pro Football Focus did have Xavier Rhodes ranked very low last year for a guy that used to be an elite cover corner. He wasn't even ranked in the top 20 cover corners. Any of these guys stand out to you as pay-up sort of guys? Because if we're going mid-range or even cheap at running back at all, we might just end up with one of these guys in lineups just in terms of just rounding out salary. Let's talk about these top-tier guys, and then we can roll into some of the cheaper guys.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I would sort of rather hope not. Julio Jones, a guy who can be all over the map from week-to-week basis, not really where I would want to lock in a nice high floor going into week one. Odell Beckham Jr. in a new situation. I think, you know, it's certainly an interesting big tournament play. I think Cleveland has every incentive to show off their new toy there. I think probably both he and Baker are looking at each other like, hey, we each finally have a competent counterpart in this sort of equation. So I think there's definitely the potential for big things. And I suppose he would be the most attractive of this group to me. But again, wide receiver in a new situation, we've just seen so many examples of it not turning out to be Randy Moss and Tom Brady, right? So I would take a wait and see there. And Tyreek Hill, I mean, the nice thing about him is that he's relatively inexpensive, especially compared to the fantasy production we saw out of him last season. But again, another guy who's sort of pretty dependent upon the deep ball, not necessarily always grabbing the highest volume of targets and receptions, more just hoping that he turns those into huge plays. And while he and Mahomes had a historic connection last season, I'm just not so sure you can just keep going out there and just catching 50-yard bombs every week. So it's certainly possible, but I don't think I would really want to settle in and just start by building my lineup around any of those guys.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill's standard deviation last year was absolutely ridiculously higher than the rest of the top 20 groups of guys. Like, top 20 guys, he was like, oh, his coefficient variation was over 0.6. No one else was even above 0.52 or something like that. It was so high, but it was so far above, so inconsistent. Unless you have some other contextual thing, like a whole wide receiver is out of the game, Tyreek Hill, and he's just dropped price because he's had three bad weeks in a row. Hill's a tough putt for cash games. All right, so if we're not trusted, by the way, it was Adoree Jackson that was covering him, and a very highly rated cornerback from Tennessee. So that was Odell Beckham Jr. So if we're not going to feel comfortable going there, where are we looking in the mid range? Because I'm not feeling 100% awesome about any of these guys either.
Yeah, so there are a few options I view as like relatively high floor. One of them is a cheap option, and that's DD Westbrook. Westbrook right now showing up in a ton of our lineups. A guy who was targeted more than 100 times last season with a far less competent quarterback than Nick Foles. He's someone I'm pretty bullish on for season-long fantasy as well. And I just think at a $5,900 price tag, if you just assume that he's going to get the same target share as he did in the past, and you know he can settle in around, say, 8 targets a game, or like 7 targets a game, that's not very many targets a game, but on a $5,900 price tag, that can usually be pretty significant. And yeah, I just think he's cheap. I think when you're looking at places to pay down, he brings, like, if you assume that he can't be any worse than he was last year with Blake Bortles, then there's nowhere to go but up. And I wouldn't be surprised if he winds up in that mid $7,000 sort of no man's land, because I do believe that he's the most talented wide receiver on this team, and I think Foles is just a better quarterback. So yeah, I think Westbrook, while there's not a lot of safety at the position, I think he's safe enough that I'm ready to roll with it for week one.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on him as well. I think that's a guy we definitely wrote up right up. He was one of the guys that stood out to us in our, just when prices first came out as being a value, and that really has, nothing has gone to change that at all over the course of the preseason. I think he is going to be as close as they get to a volume guy that we see this season. A couple other guys. I'm wondering your thoughts quickly on Chris Godwin. I don't know how bullish to be on him. He's one of these preseason sort of coaching change darlings. He was great when he was on the field last year when he was running out of the slot in the offense. They are getting an offensive overhaul to some degree through Bruce Arians. And, there has been history of him, his offense targeting guys out of the slot as well. Is he a guy that you could see running right out of the gate here? Because this would be more of a speculative play than we usually want to go, especially from a wide receiver. But it's not like a team switch. It looks like just like an overall philosophy switch. If these guys can be believed, and we know that there's the tape is long of not being able to trust what NFL coaches say and then what happens on Sunday. But is Godwin, do you see Godwin as a guy that we end up writing up? Because it feels like everybody that writes season-long stuff wrote him up over the offseason.
I like Godwin, I mean, in terms of the season-long prospects, for sure. I mean, not the least reason is because Mike Evans has sort of an uncertain history with getting banged up and missing games here and there. Godwin was great out of the slot last season. It's worth noting that Fitzpatrick also is one of the guys that targets receivers out of the slot more than any other quarterback. And I know that, you know, Godwin obviously was with Winston a few times last year. He had that tremendous game on December 30th last year against Atlanta, which I think is actually incidentally what led a lot of this inspiration about offseason Godwin articles, because he caught 6 balls for 114 yards and 2 touchdowns in his last game of the season. And that being said, like, am I confident that a guy who basically had the same profile as DD Westbrook last season, including many games where he was targeted like 3 times and stuff like that. This guy was targeted 95 times total last season. Yeah, there's a coaching change. Is that going to instantly turn him into one of the top 30 receivers in the league? I don't know. You know, I don't know if what they're seeing in camp or anything like that. I think if I'm looking at just those two guys, I think that you have to say that Westbrook's situation has improved dramatically more than Godwin's has, just because Godwin has a new coach, but Westbrook has a brand new quarterback. So not that you have to pick between them, you know, they're different enough in price, and geez, you have to play 3 wide receivers. So I don't think Godwin's unplayable or anything like that, but I think people are more bullish on him based on murmuring than they are on actual on-field production that we've seen so far.
And then the final guy that had games of pretty high peaks and pretty low valleys, last season, he had 3 games where he was targeted 13 times or more. And then over the last 4 games, he had 8 targets in 3 of the last 5 games as well. It's Kenny Golladay. It looks like it's going to be a pace-up matchup if Arizona ends up playing the way people think they're going to play in their new offense. The spread is pretty tight, and he has seen times where he's been Stafford's main guy. He's another guy that our system wants to be kind of bullish on. The Arizona secondary does look pretty weak here. He right now is in top lineups on both sites. Would you trust Kenny Golladay at 6,900 on DraftKings? And then it's a little closer on, 6,900 on FanDuel, a little closer on DraftKings at 6,300. He's not an every lineup kind of guy there. Do you think he's a guy we end up writing up?
Yeah, I like Golladay, I think, better than Godwin, simply because we saw towards the end of the season him fill in this role, you know, when you kind of set aside the other pieces that Stafford had to choose from, and he was basically left with Golladay. He was happy to throw to him 8+ times a game. You know, it didn't always work out tremendously well. Like, there are definitely 8 targets, 3 catch sort of games in there, but given that they're pretty much the same offense, and there just aren't a whole lot of tools here. I mean, is Danny Amendola going to step in and take all these targets? Like, I don't know. Yeah, I think Golladay is definitely a pretty solid bet. And again, we already have more track record that there are those, like, he had 15 targets in his last game of the season, right? Like, given that that's a possibility, I think that's a pretty decent place to start for cash games for sure.
All right, let's finish it off with tight ends. We've talked mostly in value ranges here. We haven't really talked about going high end with really any plays. I guess McCaffrey was sort of the closest we got, and maybe Gurley, the closest we got to feeling really good about a guy in what I would consider to be the upper tier, especially if we're not interested in going Julio Jones against the Vikings. If we're not going to write these guys up, do we end up just writing up the expensive tight ends like Kelsey and Kittle? Is that the way to go? It feels like there might just be enough room to pay for some of these guys, considering some of the other names we've thrown out there at the other positions.
Yeah, and I think right now, picking between them, I would lean Kittle. I think we talked about this on our last podcast as well, but $500 cheaper than Kelsey, better matchup with Tampa Bay, actually projected for more points in our system this week, I think, as a result. So, yeah, I think Kittle's a fine play. Generally, throughout the season, we've hesitated to pay up at tight end, but one thing, I don't know if you picked up on this as well, but there are a lot more, like, tight end pricing seems to have come up a little bit across the board. Yes. With, you know, there's 3 tight ends over 7,000. Then you have these mid-range guys like Evan Ingram. In the past, like O.J. Howard, 6,500. In the past, those guys would have been like 5,800 or 5,900. And, you know, we'd be put in a tougher position. And who knows, maybe it'll shake out that way as the season progresses. But at least early on, the way I would see lineups kind of coming together right now is like a mid-range quarterback. You're going to get one expensive running back or wide receiver. So Christian McCaffrey or Julio Jones or something like that. And then probably Kittle and, you know, kind of mid-ranging out the rest of the lineup. Like, and that's pretty unusual for us, you know. But I think, again, part of that's because we don't have, you know, like an Evan Ingram for 5,400 to free up money elsewhere. We don't have, you know, word that Duke Johnson will be the sole running back at 5,400. We don't have that super cheap value play. So I think given that in the mid-range and kind of slotting in a upper end tight end might be the play right now.
Yep, I think I agree. And you know, we saw last year that there was a group of tight ends. It was basically the Kelsey, Kittle, Ertz group that was just so far above everybody else that it really was a, kind of just a joke, and that you were just kind of looking around the scrap heap. Because typically you couldn't afford to play those guys unless you just had crazy values somewhere else. So you were just kind of grabbing around a tight end here or there. Maybe you play a couple of different ones and just kind of just hope to luck box your way into a touchdown. I'm not sure I see a lot of those guys anyway this week. I think we will see some ownership around Hunter Henry at 3,900 on the hope that he just re-enters that Chargers starting lineup. They have some real offensive line issues going to the season, but I think you might see, if there's anyone that has high ownership among the cheaper group on DraftKings at least, I do think it might be Hunter Henry at 3,900. Otherwise, I think you end up seeing people pay up for the Kittles and Kelseys of the world. I'm a little worried about Ertz with Goddard there, but I'm not really worried about the Kittle and Kelsey group. And as always, we just kind of roll through some defensive plays. We don't really cover that in the podcast as much. We'll cover that more on the game-by-game breakdown that we'll put out on Friday. All right, we will be out with a cash game lineup coming sometime tomorrow, so you can go check that out on dailyfantasysportsrankings.com. We'll distill some of the stuff that we talked about in today's podcast into a quick and easy article that you can read that you'll be able to put cash game plays together with, because a lot of these guys will just fit into lineups. And you can also have a chance to sign up for our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. That's optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings to get you started. If you're new to DFS or you've been around for a while, you go over there, you sign up daily, dfsr.com/deals, gets you started on that. And you can take a free 7-day trial, that will take you through the first Sunday of NFL. It also includes premium chats. You can get in there with other DFSR members, like James was talking about. We, you know, we're a pretty tight community. We do fantasy leagues together. You can come over and join that, talk with everybody. You can just ask them what they like about the product. They'll be honest with you. And these are guys and gals that have been with us for the long haul. So dfsr.com/deals. Go sign up over there. Buddy, we'll be back on Friday, game by game in it, through every game on the main slate. Talk to you then.
Peace.